And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. Well, there has been some craziness in the news, and it concerns the swamp. You know, our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., was a swamp. When you were stationed there, you were given hazard pay because of the conditions that people were forced to live in. They filled in the swamp, but they didn't get rid of the swamp rats. The rats in D.C. are elected and bureaucratic officials. So this week, we're going to talk about swamp rats in D.C. And what prompted this was the representative from San Antonio, Texas, the representative and potential governor of California making headlines. And then Nancy Mace, Thomas Massie, bringing up legislation concerning the slush fund or hush money that is filled with taxpayer dollars and used for accusers of sexual harassment and sexual assault by members of Congress and or their staff. When I get to the dollar amount, you're probably going to be as upset as I was. This is taxpayer money that has been used as payola to silence, to buy the silence of victims of sexual assault and harassment. It began, this was, I think, HB1 in the 104th Congress. It's called the Congressional Accountability Act of 1995. It was the first piece of legislation passed. It applied several civil rights, labor, and workplace and safety health laws to Congress. Before that, they were not subjected to the laws that they had written for the servants, namely you and me. That part right there perplexes me. They wrote laws for everybody else but themselves. If you have any doubt in your mind that these members of Congress and both sides of the aisle are guilty, the fact that they feel themselves as rulers over the peons, that's it right there. They were exempt from having to follow workplace safety and other guideline laws, unlike the rest of us. But there was another part to this. This bill established a dispute resolution procedure as an alternative to filing claims in federal court. The act is administered and enforced by the Office of Congressional Workplace Rights. This law was the first plank in Newt Gingrich's contract with America. That was the 1994 political agenda for the Republican Party. This bill passed by a vote of 98-1 in the Senate and 390-0 in the House of Representatives. You may be shocked to remember who signed this bill into law. I remembered the contract with America that Newt Gingrich had come out with. That was to get more Republicans in Congress to try to mitigate the Democratic president that was inhabiting the White House at the time. This is the president when he signed the bill into law, and it was none other than the irony is not lost on me. This guy has been in more trouble for deviances than anybody in recent memory. I cannot recall anybody who was sleazier than Slick Willie.
This bill demonstrates the common resolve of people here that those in power should not lose touch with those who sent them here. We must make this system more open, more fair, and less elitist.
Less elitist. Oh, good night, nurse. This is just nuts. This settlement system for the congressional workplace disputes is nothing more than a slush fund for sexual harassment claims. There should be scrutiny because these settlements often include confidentiality agreements, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. I'm going to go through part of the process that the victims who file these claims have to go through. It is astounding. Now, in 2018, Congress passed a Reform Act that required members to personally reimburse the Treasury for sexual harassment claims. But that's hard to believe that they're doing it. They are our overseers. Now, Carl Higbee is on Newsmax, and he's got a pretty good show. He had this comment that I had totally glossed over. This is about Ron DeSantis.
In 2017, then Congressman Ron DeSantis, who's now the governor of Florida, introduced an amendment to that bill that would have, quote, prohibited the use of public funds for payments of awards and settlements resulting from violations of certain CAA rights and protections if the violation consisted of sexual harassment or sexual assault. It was referred to committee and never voted on.
There is a pattern here, and we'll get to that. The CAA, the Congressional Accountability Act. I had totally glossed over the fact that DeSantis had been a representative before he became governor of Florida. But he saw the problem with this Accountability Act, and he tried to fix it, and they buried it in committee, which is a tactic that they are wont to do. Now, he had a monologue. Carl Higbee had a monologue. I got this off of YouTube. I want you to hear what he has to say about this slush fund.
We found the one issue that Congress seems to support in bipartisan manner. 357 to 65. Oh, that's not to fund the Department of Homeland Security that shut down or veterans issues or any other general governance. That's the vote to block the release of the details relating to the nearly $18 million Congress has paid out for sexual harassment claims. Just 5 months ago, the same body of Congress voted 427 to 1 to release the Epstein files, you know, for transparency for the mistreatment of young women.
The hypocrisy from both sides of the aisle to push to keep this information hidden from the public. Because if more people knew the sexual dalliances that these politicians do, they would not be reelected to office. Thomas Massie actually called out members of Congress. I want you to listen to what he has to say.
So, you know, Congress has paid over $17 million in hush money for sexual misconduct inside of the offices in these buildings.
What?
And what's more is that was taxpayer money. Here in Congress, we have, there may be some on this dais. I mean, I'm for turning loose all of these records. Who in here has had the taxpayer pay for their sexual misconduct charges, the hush money? I bet there's some over there. There may be some over here. I don't know, but I do know it's taxpayer money, and I do know not a single penny of it has been turned in as a campaign finance expense. Is the FEC going to investigate the $17 million that the Congress has paid to settle, you know, behind closed doors these sexual misconduct allegations?
The answer, Thomas, is no. They don't want anybody to know. Elena Shore wrote an article back in 2017 for Politico, and she explained this sexual harassment system. She wrote that there was a settlement negotiated between a woman and John Conyers, a Democrat from Michigan, over sexual misconduct. Now, Conyers used his office budget to buy this woman's silence. This didn't come out of the $17 million that Thomas Massie talked about. Higby said almost 18, so it's between $17 and $18 million of taxpayer money that has been used to silence accusers. There is no public record, so it's impossible to know how much money we have actually doled out to the victims of sexual misconduct in Congress. The Office of Compliance was a once obscure department. They pay out the settlements. They do not release any information in which the cases are broken down by category. Hush, hush, hush. The identities of the lawmakers are never disclosed. This means there's no warning system for potential victims that come to work for these predators. You know, the Catholic Church did that with priests who were accused of sexual molestation of altar boys. They would ship them to another parish in another country and keep it quiet. And those parishioners had no idea why they had a new priest. The Southern Baptists have done a lot of the same things with their ministers and pastors. They have even, I reported about this a couple years ago. They had victims' parents sign non-disclosure agreements and paid them off. And that's what Congress does. These are people in authority. The people we're supposed to trust to have our best interests, and they are doing ungodly things to their staff, to their workers, to the American taxpayer, and we're none the wiser. So who in Congress approves the settlements paid with our taxpayer dollars? The top Republican and the top Democrat on the House Administration Committee approves these settlements for that chamber, just for the House. There is no such process in the Senate, at least as far as up to 2017. A Republican and a Democrat, bipartisan guilt by association for silencing victims. Now, this is the process. Victims that want to file a claim must first do mandatory counseling. There's mandatory. There's no option. If you want to file a complaint against a sitting member of Congress for sexual abuse or harassment, you have to have mandatory counseling, and then you go into mediation. During the mediation process, it is subject to strict secrecy rules, including the use of non-disclosure agreements. So first you go to counseling, then you go to mediation, and you have to sign a waiver that you will not disclose anything that is discussed. After you have completed mandatory counseling and mediation, harassment victims can formally pursue a complaint with the compliance officer or file a federal lawsuit. To file the lawsuit, the victim has to get a password to access the forms to file this complaint. How convoluted is that? Counseling, mediation, then you finally get a password to get access to the forms to fill out your complaint. I have an audio about, there's no names given, as they are prone to do. No name given, but this woman talks about the actions of a Congress member. Listen to this.
This member asked a staffer to bring them over some materials to their residence. And the young staffer, it was a young woman, went there and was greeted with a member in a towel. It was a male, who then invited her in. At that point, he decided to expose himself. She left, and then she quit her job.
Moms and dads, you're sending your children to college. They could be majoring in political science or law or both. And they get the opportunity to go intern or work for a member of Congress. And this is a stepping stone. They are looking forward to a career as either a representative in the federal Congress or state legislation. And they are subjected to items like this. Now, I'm not naive enough to believe that it doesn't happen all the time. These members of Congress have run a popularity competition to get elected. They feel that they are untouchable, that they have won over the hearts and minds of their constituents, and they can do whatever they wish, as long as they funnel money back to their district. The only job a congressman has is to get reelected. He doesn't care one whit about whether you or I have enough food on our table, enough gas in our car to get to work, enough money to pay all the bills. They care not one whit about that. But you willingly support your child going to work for this congressman. He's probably in your district, and you're excited that your daughter got a chance to work for this impressive individual. He greets your daughter at the door in nothing but a towel. So his ego has already told him that, yeah, this one's mine. Yeah, I can bed this one. Because I'm so charming. You have to question the mindset of these predators. And then he has the unmitigated gall to expose himself. He's ruined this child for a long time. This is a traumatic experience. And you know what he does? He shrugs his shoulders. He puts his towel back on. And goes, well, I'll find another one. There's no remorse. It's just sickening. And I've posed this question before. How many politicians that are in Washington, D.C. would you trust to babysit your children or grandchildren? There's not very many. There is a flaw in their mental system that allows these members to believe that they are lords over the kingdom. And it doesn't stop in Congress. It goes to the White House. And I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. They're not Christians. These are married men more times than not. And they're doing these lewd acts. Back, I want to say this was probably late 20-teens. Laura Ingraham finally talked about this. And it might have been after Thomas Massie originally brought up the fact that there were millions of taxpayer dollars being used in this hush money fund. Here's Laura Ingraham.
Did you know that you've been funding payoffs for congressional harassment claims for decades? According to the Congressional Office of Compliance, between 1997 and 2014, hundreds of women have been paid $15.2 million in total in awards and settlements for Capitol Hill workplace violations.
So it was passed in 1995. By 2014, $15 million had been paid out. $1 million a year? I think that's the math. To buy silence. So that they could keep their cushy job in D.C. It is a violation of our trust. It is completely against any biblical teaching. It is disgusting. This system is so broken that I don't see a way to fix it without a full-blown revolution. Who knows? It could be on the horizon. I don't know. I'm not calling for bloodshed. But the only way that to clean up the corruption that is happening in Washington, D.C. is to level the entire apparatus. Can you? This is so disturbing to my heart. I cannot fathom how these people continually, it's like wash, rinse, repeat. The cycle is never ending. How do you actually trust your congressperson, whether it's in the Senate or in the House of Representatives? We don't know. The only way we're going to find out is if we bring enough force to bear with our elected representatives that they succumb and release these names. Now, I read an article by Peter Schweitzer concerning the two recent members of the House of Representatives who have resigned their position. They have left the building. One is Representative Tony Gonzalez from San Antonio, and I'll talk about him here in a little bit. And the other is Eric Swalwell. And Schweitzer opined that Swalwell was a liability in the gubernatorial race in California because California has some squirrely election system. They don't have a primary for the Democrat and the Republican for the governorship. The top two vote getters will have a runoff and be decided in November. Who's going to be the governor of California? The last rhino to hold office in Sacramento was Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator. He ran as a Republican. But was he really a conservative? No. But he wanted to be governor of California for whatever reason. But anyway, I digress. Swalwell running for governor had muddied the waters. At the time of his resignation and when he decided to rescind his campaign for the governorship. There was a Republican, a businessman from Los Angeles, who was polling at like 22%. Then I think Swalwell might have been number two, and number three was a Republican sheriff that is running for governor. And it was looking more and more like we were going to have a Republican governor in the state of California. With Swalwell being outed for his sexual deviances, and there are many. There are many. All of a sudden, Tom Steyer, the billionaire, is polling in the number one slot. Convenient. But to offset Swalwell resigning from Congress and pulling his campaign from the governorship, there had to be a tit for tat, and that turned out to be Tony Gonzalez, the Republican from San Antonio. So it maintained the balance of power in Congress. Now, there are two other members of Congress who are facing ethics reviews and potentially expulsion. One is a reprobate Democrat that was charged by the DOJ for fraud of COVID or FEMA violations, something to that effect. Then there is another Republican that is being investigated for sexual harassment and some other nefarious activities. These are people that we elect to put in office. Who is to blame for this? It's us. We're the ones that continually go to the ballot box and say, oh, okay. Yeah, Chip Roy. I know him. He's been my representative for however long he's been in office. Chip's got my vote. We don't look at their history. And if we knew that they were predators, we obviously would not push their name in the ballot box. Hence the secrecy and the non-disclosure agreements, because they want that cushy job. But the shenanigans that Congress is pulling to maintain the balance of power, what is there, I think one or two, maybe four difference in the number of Republicans that are seated and the number of Democrats? I don't know why it matters, because most of the Republicans supported squashing this bill. They don't want to modify. They don't want to out their fellow members of Congress, because who knows what they have done behind closed doors. It's a swamp. Donald Trump said it best when he said we need to drain the swamp. The only problem is the rats are so entrenched inside the Beltway, and all the bureaucracies, all the lobbyists, and sitting members of Congress. They are part of this evil system, and we keep putting them back. We don't check their power. No wonder they think they are lords and we are the serfs. I hope you're as disturbed as I am by this. And I hope that we'll all start asking our representatives to stand up and do what's right, do what they were put in office to do, and fess up. We have to do something, or this system is going to completely ruin what's left of this nation. I'm going to have to take a brief pause. When I come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We have a brand new book that we are offering through the ministry. It's entitled One Nation Under Blackmail. Actually, it is a two-volume set. Following World War II, every U.S. administration has aligned itself with the drug traffickers, arms dealers, branches of the mob, known enemies of the state, assassins, and involved itself with murder, smuggling, human trafficking, the sex trade, Ponzi schemes, money laundering, bank fraud, and many other illegal activities. Exhaustively researched, Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail is a damning indictment of the consequences resulting from the nearly century-old relationship between both U.S. and Israeli intelligence, along with the organized crime network known as the National Crime Syndicate. This book explores how that nexus between intelligence and organized crime directly developed the sexual blackmail tactics and networks that would later enable the sexual blackmail operation and other crimes of pedophile and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Discover a comprehensive history of the interconnectivity between sections of the government, the military-industrial complex, the banking industry, and organized crime and sexual blackmail. While other books on Jeffrey Epstein focus on the depraved nature of his crimes, his wealth, and his most famous politically connected friends and acquaintances, this book reveals the extent to which Epstein's activities were state-sponsored through an exploration of his intelligence connections. One reader posted a review. They said, quote, "To learn that corporations like American Express, Bank of America, Pennzoil, The Limited, Victoria's Secret, TWA, and more are all involved. And the banks, every single one you can think of is involved in these illegal activities. The CIA, the FBI, governors, district attorneys, senators, congressmen, cabinet members, complete industries such as liquor, shipping, trucking, publishing, machinery, metal, and more. This is a two-volume set. We're only asking $45. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $51 for One Nation Under Blackmail. You can order your copy today by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for this book on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. I will tell you, this is an outstanding two-book set written by Whitney Webb. You need to get your copy today. I was flabbergasted when I read it. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing swamp rats in D.C. Now, I mentioned Tony Gonzalez in the first half. He was a representative from Texas. He has announced that he is officially retiring. The House Ethics Committee had launched a probe into his indiscretions over a romantic relationship with a former staffer who later died by suicide. So this slimeball was sending explicit messages to a member of his staff. He may have even sent explicit pictures. She was married. He was married. Now, he claims that it was a brief break in faith. No. That it's too disturbing. The actions were too repetitious. But this staffer was so distraught over what happened that, from what I recall, she poured gasoline on herself and immolated herself, set herself on fire. That's how bad she felt. Can you imagine how her husband feels? He was probably proud that his wife was going to work for Tony in D.C. And then whatever troubled mindset that Gonzalez has, he decided he needed to woo the pants off of this girl. Prove his manhood, I guess. And then what happened to drive her to douse herself with gasoline and set herself on fire? That's vile. Now, Gonzalez announced, I think it was last month, that he was not going to run for re-election. He was going to drop his bid. He had already, I think, in the primary, won his primary election. But he has also announced plans to resign from Congress because of the sexual assault and misconduct allegations. This was the trade-off to Swalwell, at least according to Schweitzer. Makes sense? Now, Swalwell made the news this past weekend because video was released of him and another guy in a hotel room with prostitutes. Swalwell, if you recall, had an affair with a Chinese agent, yes, from Red China, while he was on the House Intelligence Committee. So his dalliances are well known inside Washington, D.C. How much did California know or care, the voters anyway? I can't tell you. I live in Texas. But they kept putting this jackwagon in office, and he was running for governor and doing okay. He could have been the next governor of California. But this video that was released put the kibosh on his campaign, and the ethics investigation was going to probably expel him from Congress. So to avoid having this information released to public, he resigned. Convenient. As soon as he resigned, the House Ethics Committee isn't going to release the report. There are some reports that I have seen, and there's speculation. I don't know this for fact, but his running buddy is Ruben Gallego from Arizona. Is it Gallego in the hotel room with the prostitutes? Because there was another young female that videoed all this shenanigan going on a cell phone, and then the video got released. But this isn't the first or second time. Oh, no. There are multiple victims coming forth that are finally speaking out about Swalwell. Here are three victims who were asked about Swalwell.
No, it's just the beginning. It's just the very beginning. And I know personally that we're not walking away from this fight.
For me, justice won't be until he can't ever harm a woman ever again. And he has faced the consequences for the women that he has harmed.
I think in regards to the governor's race, he never should have ran for governor to begin with, knowing the kind of history and receipts that are out there. So that's a non-starter. And then in terms of Congress, I think he absolutely should have resigned. I think we just prevented another 30 to 40 years potentially of him harming people if he were to stay in Congress.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think we have serve justice for his future victims.
Wow.
That won't exist anymore.
Now, a number of these victims have said that they didn't come forth sooner because of the power that he wielded. He was an attorney. He's a representative. I mean, if he's on the House Intelligence Committee, he's got some clout in Congress, even though he was removed, thankfully, after it was revealed that he was sleeping with a Chinese agent. It's sad that this wasn't revealed sooner. How much money did Swalwell have to spend to buy the silence of other victims? But Nancy Mace recently put forth a bill in Congress, Thomas Massie sponsored it, that was going to force Congress to release the names of all those who have reached settlements with victims of sexual harassment and assault. The vote is sickening. Nearly every member of Congress, there were 357 Democrats and Republicans who voted against releasing this information. Now, they didn't kill the bill. They sent it to committee. But they don't want fellow members exposed, because what skeletons do they have in their closet? So Nancy Mace, a Republican from South Carolina, proposed forcing a vote on a resolution she filed directing the House Committee on Ethics to preserve and publicly release all records relating to investigations into members of Congress for sexual harassment, unwelcome sexual advances, and sexual assault under House rules. Ms. Mace said, quote, "Congress has been sweeping this under the rug for far too long. Tony Gonzalez may be the latest example, but he's not the only one. Staff deserve to come to work without being harassed by their bosses. Women deserve to be safe. And the American people deserve to know when their so-called representative is abusing power instead of serving their constituents. No more hiding. No more excuses. It's time to end the cover-up and drag the truth into the light." Close quote. Almost all the Republicans, 175, almost all the Democrats, 182, voted to refer this resolution to committee. So they didn't vote down this resolution. Instead, they sent it to committee to kill it, just like what happened to Ron DeSantis. Thomas Massie has been calling for the release of these names for years. But some reporter caught up with Tim Burkett, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert in the hallway after this vote sent this resolution to committee. Listen to them.
The House just did the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. We just voted to cover up sexual harassment of employees by members.
They voted against my resolution that would reveal members of Congress who sexually harass employees on the Hill, women on the Hill, in the campaigns, lobbyists, etc. Shameful.
They sent it to the ethics committee. Right, so a bunch of congressmen are going to investigate.
So let it go get hidden, right?
Yeah, this is exactly where bills go to die.
This is where bills go to die. They go back to committee. Now, there was much disgust and much disgust that was brought forth from the House floor. And Lauren Boebert, a Republican from Colorado, had this to say.
I'm absolutely disgusted that we couldn't even get to 50 members of Congress who want immediate transparency. Don't we all campaign on transparency? Don't we all go out and tell the American voters that we are leaders and that we are going to get justice for them, that we are going to do right by them? And then we hire their daughters to come work for us, and your tax dollars, millions and millions of dollars, has been used in this slush fund as hush money to silence victims who have been sexually harassed, sexually abused by members of Congress, and then Congress is going to do exactly what it does best, investigate itself. And we know that none of that ever goes anywhere. The American people demand transparency. And this doesn't just pertain to a ranch in Arizona or New Mexico or an island down in the Virgin Islands. This is happening right here in our nation's capital. And we should be held to the highest standards. And to every member who voted to send this to committee where you know this was sent to die on the House floor just moments ago, I hope you have a darn good reason to tell your constituents why you were not going to stand up for the victims. And I'm glad that we are doing something about it here in the Oversight Committee. I'm glad that this motion was made here so we actually have another chance at transparency. But again, these are your tax dollars. These are your tax dollars that were used to silence victims. They have been settled with victims. And to the members who voted against this, go home and tell your daughters what you did today. Go home and tell your daughters what happens in the workplace, no matter where it is, in your hometown, in your nation's capital, and tell them what you did to help continue to cover up decades of corruption.
Decades of corruption is correct. Since 1995, 30 years. 30 years this has been on the books. Now, Representative Ana Paulina Luna from Florida, a Republican, also chastised members about this.
All right. I support Representative Mace, Mace's subpoena here, as well as the amendment to it. And I just think it's really disgusting how this institution protects itself, because y'all just half of them voted to send this stuff to House Ethics, where you know it's going to die. We know that members of Congress are using taxpayer dollars to pay off sexual harassment. We just had a member of Congress literally sexually harass a woman that then lit herself on fire, and you guys all protected him. You guys all protected my own side, your side. And so if you guys want to talk about victims, if you want to go out and virtue signal, and then you guys are going to kill her stuff on the floor and then try to pass. Yeah, of course, we should subpoena all of this stuff. But just, I'm not going to sit here and play games. I think it's a complete fraud. I think that's why the American people hate us. I think the midterms are coming up and everyone should go on record for this. And I hope that members are exposed for this. I hope it goes back, I think, to the 70s, because it's wrong that it's happening. It's wrong that we cover up for it. It's wrong that we can't censure our own side because people are busy making deals because you guys don't want to censure your side. It's a deal that's been cut, and people hate us for it.
Pretty strong argument. People are not happy with members of Congress. We don't trust them. And this is part of the problem. Now, Ms. Mace said, quote, both parties colluded to protect predators. They voted to keep sexual harassment records buried, and they did it together. Every member who voted against this resolution voted to protect the cover-up instead of the victims. This is the establishment in action, always protecting itself, never the victims. Ask yourself why. Remember their names when they ask for your vote. Yes, remember their names. Look up who voted to send this back to committee to protect their own. This is important. Now, I've mentioned townhall.com before. It's one of the websites I go to. They do great reporting. Guy Benson is an editor for townhall.com, and he flat out in an interview on TV said Congress is running a self-protection racket with this slush fund. Listen to what Guy Benson has to say.
In the swamp, it's hard to imagine something more swampy than this, where our elected representatives can abuse their power, abuse subordinates, and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off without any of the details ever being released. The fact that that is the current status quo is jaw-dropping, I think, to most taxpayers, and is completely unacceptable. On its face, that cannot continue. It's a self-protection racket. That's the whole point of this. Both parties know that there are people in their ranks being shielded by the status quo, and it's a numbers game. It's all about politics, and so they aren't necessarily keen on this. So the only way that it'll happen is if the American people are angry enough in a sustained way to make sure that a bill comes to the floor and is voted on and is passed, and people who vote against it are shamed, because there aren't good reasons to vote no, I would view, at least on a transparency-minded bill.
People are disgusted, should be disgusted. Will this affect the upcoming elections for the House and Senate come November? Well, I'm hoping that this program will inspire a number of you to go out and find out what your representative, what your senators are doing. Representatives mainly for this resolution because it was sent to committee in the House of Representatives. But we need to do a deep dive on our elected officials in Congress. Pull the rats out of the swamp. If they are using our taxpayer dollars to do these evil and vile things to these young women or young men, we know the proclivity of these elected officials runs the gamut. I mean, Nixon said it best when he went to the Bohemian Grove and he said, this is the most faggoty bunch of people I've ever been associated with. So we know that they're going to diddle boys and girls, men and women. Their demented minds don't see a problem with this because they're power hungry. Now, Thomas Massie did appear on Carl Higbee's show on Newsmax, and Carl didn't pull any punches, and he pretty much explained to Thomas that he's disgusted with the entire situation and wants to know why. So here is Thomas Massie on with Carl Higbee.
I'll tell you when I exposed the existence of this fund. It was several years ago. And the Democrats, by the way, they're being total hypocrites on the vote on this slush fund. The Democrats, in a hearing, were trying to rake Donald Trump over the coals for a payment to Stormy Daniels that he didn't disclose on a campaign expense report. That's not even a legitimate thing to put as a campaign expense. But they were trying to convict him of these trumped up charges, and it was because of non-disclosure of this payment to Stormy Daniels. And that's when I blew the whistle on this $17 million fund. And my hat's off to Nancy Mace for getting this done. I co-sponsored this with her to bring it to the floor. You got to believe, Carl, these guys did not want to take that vote. So they're mad at Nancy Mace and me and some other folks who forced this vote to happen. And they're on the record now. If they don't like the way the bill was written, it's just like the Epstein files. When I pushed that through, everybody said, oh, it's not perfect. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. And I told them, if you don't like the way it's written, put your own bill on the floor. And none of them would. And they have no intention of resurrecting this thing out of the Ethics Committee.
No chance to resurrect out of the Ethics Committee. It's where this resolution is going to die. But do not kid yourself that this is only happening in D.C. Whew, man, this was from PBS. This is a report from 2018 by Jen Fifield. It's happening at the state level as well. And I know, I don't remember if I was a freshman or it could have been in eighth grade, but there were students that were allowed to be a page for elected representatives here in the state of Texas. I did not do it, but I had some friends that did. And then later we find out that they are abusing these teenagers in Texas, in the House and Senate here in Texas. So I know that this has been going on for decades. But when I came across some of these other reports that don't make national news, people don't really pay attention to this. And controlled media is definitely not going to expose these people because they are prime candidates for blackmail. Just look at the Epstein debacle. How much dirt is on members of Congress and Slick Willie and Hitlery for taking the Lolita Express or going to Epstein Island? We know that was a Mossad honeypot trap to get members of Congress to do the bidding of Israel. I know it in my heart. Do I have concrete proof? No. But I know it in my heart. This is a report from 2018, mind you. Representative Thomas Calderon in Pennsylvania was accused of harassing a staff member. The legislature settled this matter outside of court. the state's insurance paid out $250,000 in 2015. No one said a word, even during the next election cycle. And Calderon retained his seat. The secret settlement involving state lawmakers or legislative aides have been exposed in a number of states. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is the one that got Calderon. California newspapers have revealed that the state legislature spent $290,000 on settling harassment-related claims since 2006. The Detroit News revealed that the Michigan Senate spent $269,000 to investigate and settle sexual harassment claims from 2000 to 2007. The Wisconsin State Journal revealed that the state legislature in 2015 spent $75,000 to settle a claim against a state senator who was accused by a former aide of talking about her breasts and making other sexual comments. This state senator later became treasurer for the city of Milwaukee. He's a Democrat, Spencer Coggs. Lawmakers in at least five states, California, Illinois, Iowa, New York, and Pennsylvania, proposed banning the use of public dollars for settlements or payouts related to sexual harassment allegations. Has any of this passed since 2018? Oh, I doubt it. Here is Iowa, involving a Republican senator, $1.75 million in settlement. A Democrat representative in Kentucky, $400,000. Two settlements in New York, one involving a Democrat state assemblyman and another involving a Senate employee, $620,000 to buy silence. The swamp really does need to be drained. How do we go about fixing this? Well, we start by doing a deep dive on our candidates. Don't just listen to their political speeches and their platform and blah, blah, blah. No. If they're running for representative of your state and they're looking to get to D.C., find out how they voted on this resolution from Nancy Mace. If they voted to send it back to committee, they've got skeletons in the closet, and you probably should replace them. We have to do our level best to ensure that what we are sending to represent us in D.C. are morally and ethically solid. I guess it's too much to hope for a biblical worldview by our candidates. You know, I talked with Pastor Butch about this a while back. There is no way. I mean, it's almost blasphemous in my eyes when people say, God bless America. How? We keep electing filth to represent us in Congress. We elect filth to reside in the White House. They're a heartbeat away from pushing a button and sending Armageddon around the world. Our moral compass has been so twisted and bent that we don't know which way is up. But we can start implementing some change by supporting those who, at least on the surface, present a moral and ethical front. And then if they disprove that, next election cycle, get rid of them. Don't keep putting the same rats back in the swamp. That's the only way we're going to implement any kind of change, is with the power at the ballot box. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.